This is the Afternoon Drive Show.
You've just tuned in. You're listening to Drive 326 on Impact 103. And it's so good to be with you. My name is Jose Rankumise. And you're just in time for a conversation that I've been looking forward to. It's a conversation that makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable because no one wants to naturally lean into a conversation about disagreements. But let's be honest, we have disagreements all the time with loved ones, with family, with friends, with colleagues, with our neighbors, with our children, with our parents and nephews and cousins and aunts and all different people. We constantly find ourselves faced with the idea of a conflict and a disagreement. And that's normal. Or is it? Is it an indicator that something might be going wrong if you have a disagreement frequently? Or is it an indication that something is wrong if you don't disagree? Well, we're going to be unpacking that ever so slightly this afternoon. And joining us in studio is Hendrine Fadabale, who is a friend of the station at this point in time. She is a fantastic counselor in building family, marriage and relationships. Definitely leaning a lot more into Imago therapy and passionately devoted to seeing people grow in how they build relationship together. And she's joining us this afternoon to help us in this seemingly complex topic. Hendrine, welcome back to the show.
Of course, thank you for having me. Interesting conversations.
Very interesting conversations. And Hendrine, you know, when we talk about disagreements, there's a little bit of a discomfort we sometimes feel inside because you almost remember the last disagreement that made you feel uncomfortable, that made you feel like, oh no, I don't even want to share my thoughts. I don't even want to share my opinion because I know it's going to be a fight. But let's start with, this is a myth I remember my partner and I, my wife and I, when we were dating, we heard this a lot and people would say, what do you mean you guys don't fight? No, you should be fighting. That means the relationship is moving, right? Can the presence of a disagreement indicate something of the overall health of relationship to say, if there's disagreements, that means it's going great. And if there isn't, that means one should be worried. Can one say a blanket statement like that?
Well, I think a big concept that we have to understand is that conflict and disagreements is not an indication that you're doing something wrong. It's not an indication that you are failing or that you made a mistake to be with the person that you are. Disagreements in relationship just means that there is maybe a point of information that life is maybe trying to give you. We've talked about this before, but lessons. Life is trying to teach you something and show you something, and you kind of need to listen to that, work with that, see what is the information that life is trying to give you. So to move into a place that to say that we don't fight, it may be a little bit concerning because it means that there's some, maybe you're then avoiding the information or the lesson. Yeah. So to answer the question, it's maybe not an indication that there's something wrong. It's more that life is maybe just trying to teach you something. There's information, mm-hmm. there's a gift that you have to listen and embrace.
That you're having to actually take note of,
yes.
into your relationship. And are there some like common misconceptions that people have about disagreements in terms of how they're handled, how often they happen? Is there like some misconceptions that you find are regularly coming up?
Definitely. I think most of the most common misconceptions that I do hear is that people tend to think that to be in a healthy relationship means that you don't go into arguments, or that if you do have it, it's failing, or that harmony needs to be the goal. But the thing is that harmony, it maybe just gives the illusion of peace. But like I say, that a disagreement in relationship is actually just maybe a point of indication to say that there's something that's unresolved. Maybe there's some pain, some trauma, some unmet needs that you are carrying with you. Mm. And it's as if in relationship, people show up that triggers that, and it's kind of then, like I say, it's a point of information that you need to listen to. So if you tend to focus on making relationship only positive and never fighting and just being harmonious, you kind of then like I say, ignoring or avoiding the gift. You are missing out on it if that's kind of the mindset that we have, is that you have to constantly be in harmony with each other.
I mean, one would think as long as it's peaceful in the house and everybody's happy, that means everything's going all right. But I think you're indicating something so true, that it may be that one is avoiding engaging, yes. and growing and learning. What would be the effects, the long-term effects of disagreements that are left? Or unresolved disagreements that are just like, ah, it's just how you are, and they left. What is the effects that one can anticipate to see, especially in long-term relationships?
Yes. Well, the thing is that I think that the conflict or the disagreements is coming up because of unresolved things.
Yeah.
So now it's coming up and you're just choosing to throw it under the carpet again. So you're still not working with it. So now where you're working with it, you try just to ignore it and push it away. So if you keep on ignoring the work or if you don't do the work, it's as if somewhere it kind of just builds up and it piles up.
Mm.
And then somewhere, especially like you say, in long-term relationships, it's even the smallest things that can start to trigger you. It's not even the big things, but you will start to get upset or triggered about the smallest things because you're carrying all of this stuff with you. So some of you need to do the work to let go of that, because otherwise you will get triggered about the smallest things. So even the smallest arguments can turn into this big fight that's you feel is difficult to resolve.
I think a lot of us, when we listen to a conversation like this, I mean, from the moment we started to hear, a lot of people would be narrowly thinking towards romantic relationships, husband and wife, fiancé, and that romantic space. Does this also apply in broader relationships? I'm thinking parents and children, or children towards older parents and older children, that is, or to colleagues. Does it broaden out to even those spaces?
The thing is that we are all human, and if there's one common human need, and it's a need, not a want, is that we want to feel connected. We want to feel seen and heard and visible, and that we are appreciated. And that is universal. That's not just applicable to me or you. It's with everyone. I mean, every person that exists on this earth. And you've mentioned about this beautiful song that we've listened to before.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what God shows and makes us experience. So we all have that need, and it's applicable then in workspaces. Every employee also wants to feel that they are valued and they are heard. And if they don't experience that, that's where the arguments will show up. That's where the conflict will show up. It will happen with your family members. It will happen with your neighbors. It will happen with your children. If we don't get to experience that, then we will start to react because we want to have that need met. So we will react to help ourselves to experience that.
Now, how then, and I mean, I'm so glad that you make mention of even in the workplace, you know, an employee wants to be seen and acknowledged and seen as valuable towards the team. How, I think there's a lot of people that will go, in the workplace, it's not a place for disagreements. You start to disagree with someone, you're already putting your work in danger. You're putting your livelihood in danger. HR might not like it. Someone somewhere is going to say something to someone and it's not going to look good for you for the future. How can an environment that encourages healthy disagreements serve the organization well? And I ask this question because there might be employers or managers or HR officers that might be listening to this, and they might realize that, hey, creating room for healthy disagreements might be of benefit to the company, or maybe not. Maybe talk us through that.
Yeah, so I like what you say is about the healthy aspect of it, because no relationship needs to be in constant argument or conflict. That's not the point.
Yeah.
But there is worth to be able to work with it. And that is where skills and techniques and information and my work comes to be applied, because then you know how to work with it. And a big part that I would also like to get across is to know that most of the time when conflict or argument shows up is when differences comes together. And in this case, in a workplace, is that, of course, when you have a certain opinion about how things needs to be done and your colleague has a totally different opinion or perspective, it will create tension and it will bring up that argument.
Yeah.
But there's so much more worth if you can create a space where people can feel that they are safe enough to express their different opinion, even if it's different, even if it does create tension, that it's okay. Because I think that everyone can benefit from spaces, family, intimate relationships, workspaces can benefit a lot more if everyone has a place to express these opinions and these perspectives, because then you get a bigger picture and not just certain parts of the picture.
Yeah.
So it needs to be, a workspace also need to create a space where even if you have a different opinion or perspective or need or want, that there's space to express that, because you can then help to make or to set yourself apart from other workspaces or companies or the work that you do, because you feel valued and important in what you do.
And I mean, the organization at the end is the one that benefits the most, because you've got an environment of employees that are thriving.
Exactly. Creativity will foster out of that space.
Let's talk about, when should one worry that the disagreements and the frequency and the intensity is to a point of concern? Because you were talking earlier about how it might be an indication of some underlying things of trauma or whatever it may be. At which point should one worry that I think it might be good for us to get a third party professional into this picture, workspace, relationship, intimate relationship, family, because you're realizing that this is almost like what we would easily say, oh, stop bickering. Yeah. But now it's actually because this is happening frequently and very intensely.
So that's a good question. And that's a question that we get very often, is when do you know that this is becoming serious? Because yes, like I've now mentioned, that conflict is normal, but when does it become serious and maybe that you need support? Is you can't measure the success of the relationship on how little you fight or how less frequent that happens, because once again, like I said, that's the, you don't get rid of it, you need to embrace it.
Yeah.
But maybe a better place to understand or to measure the success of your relationship is to see how quickly it takes you to repair. So like I say, the arguments and the conflict is normal, but it's how long it takes you to repair that makes a difference. That if it takes you 10 years, that after the disagreement, that it takes you 10 years to actually resolve it and to get back to feeling connected to each other, that's not really healthy, because it took you 10 years to have that conversation, to do the hard work, to get back to that space. I kind of want to say 5 years, a year, 3 months, that's still, it's unhealthy. You cannot take that long and waste so much time to be more disconnected than feeling connected. That's a painful place to be, and no one deserves to feel that. The point of our work is to help couples to repair much quicker. Maybe a month, maybe a week. But the goal of our work is to help couples that maybe in the same day, maybe even just after an hour, maybe even in 10 minutes, that yes, the conflict showed up, the disagreement happened, but it's how to come back, how to repair after that. And that's the vital point of it all. How long does it take you to actually get to feeling connected and to resolve? That's an important thing that I think couples can, or even any person can take in consideration.
My goodness, I've never even considered that. The concept of the reconnecting and the repairing and connecting as a couple again being very important, or in that relationship space being critical. Well, I can't have this conversation and not ask, what are some tools to have healthy disagreements? What are some tools that we can apply today? I mean, no one plans the day thinking, today I'm going to have a disagreement, so I need some tools for later tonight. Yes. But tools that we can have in our toolkit, that should we find ourselves there, we're able to go back and say, wait, let me try this to ensure that the conclusion of this disagreement is healthy for me, for the person I'm with, and for the relationship that we have.
Yes, and once again, you are mentioning it yourself. It's a tool, it's a skill. Most of the time, people think that it's supposed to just happen naturally, because the arguments show up naturally. So we kind of tend to think that we need to resolve it also, or we kind of just wait for it to happen by itself. But the thing is that if you really are interested in doing it more effectively, there's really a skill, there's a technique, there's a way to do it. Like for instance, it's like riding a bike. My son is now 3, he's learning how to ride his bike, and the other day he's sitting on the bike the right way, but he's pedaling backwards, and he will get kind of frustrated because it's not working. But is it the bike that's not working, or is it he that doesn't know how to ride the bike? And that's kind of the same principle, that sometimes we just keep on doing the way we think it needs to be done, and then saying it's not working. But is it not working, or is it that you don't know what to do? So yes, there is some skills and there is some techniques that you can do. And once again, that is what I do and that's what I teach couples. But if I can give a quick tip for today that you can start to implement immediately, is that shift the focus away from getting your point across. It's not in the speaking that it will change. It's in the listening. That if you do reach that point of argument, if you can shift your perspective to being a space of hearing, listening, really acknowledging what whoever you are in conversation with, if you can rather shift the focus on hearing, I can guarantee you it will create a different effect. We are so focused on what we say that we forget it's about how we listen. And you don't have to agree. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you just need to keep quiet and just agree or let go of your opinion or your perspective. But the big work is not in what you say or how you say it. It's more about if you can practice the skill of listening, empathic listening, it will have an effect.
My goodness, I think I am already feeling so empowered. I'm imagining people are sitting in the car and they're going, oh my goodness, I didn't know I needed to hear this. From a perspective of knowing that the disagreement I'm experiencing is not an indication of something being wrong, or the fact that how much we have is it can't be a direct indicator. But I love what you said about being able to measure how long it takes to reconnect again, to be able to reestablish relationship, to restore that connection is something that is a big indicator. And more than anything, being able to focus on listening, not so much of bringing that point across. Andreen, is always so invaluable to be able to hear you share this. But there might be people listening right now and thinking, Andreen, I need you to hear clearly what I've been through. It's a little bit of, it's taking a while to reconnect. It's a little bit of, I'm myself aware of the role I play and I don't know how to go about it. How can they reach you if they've got questions?
Yes. I have some exciting news that this is, like I said, the skill and the technique that goes with it. And that's kind of what I teach couples when they come into session with me. And today I've launched a new digital product in that way that makes it accessible to anyone, wherever you are, to do it in your own space. And it's a 10 easy step ebook, and that's available today and it's on sale. So if anyone is interested in learning exactly how to do this, that's something that they can get from my Instagram page, and that will be Start Right, Stay Right, and the link will be in my bio. And there you will find more tips and my website link if you need some more support, because I know we are talking kind of all little bit on the surface, and I know that there's many people that experience a lot more deeper things, and maybe then this type of conversation, it will not be applicable because there's deeper things that you need to work with, and me and other therapists can support couples to really reach a place back to feeling heard, valued, important, because we all deserve that.
Andreen, so good to chat to you. Always so good. I could sit with you for a half an hour. It's just really unpacking different topics, because I think for many of us, we find that point of feeling seen, of knowing that what I'm going through is not isolated to me. But also at the same time, we go through moments where we just feel like, man, I feel equipped to be able to do relationship better, to start right and be able to stay right. Yes. I hope I'm saying it right.
That's exactly the point.
Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, and I look forward to seeing you again. And congratulations on the ebook.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me. We'll see you soon.
Andreen van der Bijl joining us right here on Drive 326, talking about healthy disagreements. What an absolutely enlightening conversation.
This is the Afternoon Drive Show.